Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Arthur Diamond is here. Arthur M. Diamond, Jr. is a professor of economics at University of Nebraska in Omaha. He's taught at the University of Ohio before, and he's someone who has a great perspective on what's really going on out there in our world, especially from an economic standpoint, the beauty of capitalism. I found him through an article he wrote about Walt Disney, which was titled "A Disney Story for Young Socialists," which is something that really caught my eye. Then I found out he wrote a book called "Openness to Creative Destruction," and I knew when I saw that we had to have him on the show to talk to us about what's really going on out there. Art Diamond, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it.
It's good to have you here. Thank you for the article that you wrote. Folks, I encourage you to Google that article, a Disney story for young socialists. Write that down, a Disney story for young socialists. Google that. I think it was in the journal I saw that, the Wall Street Journal, I think, Art. And so it's not a very long article, but it's outstanding, and you'll like it a lot. Give it to your children. What made you think of that, of writing it that way? What was the burr under your blanket, Art, that made you write that article?
One thing you often hear in the debate between people who are in favor of capitalism versus those who are in favor of socialism, and you even hear this sometimes from the people who are in favor of capitalism, is that the capitalists are the practical people, the number crunchers, the people with their eyes open, whereas the socialists are the idealists.
Right.
And I think to some extent that's a bum rap, because I think there's idealists on the side of capitalism too. And that what we emphasize sometimes are GDP numbers. And maybe what we ought to do more often is tell the stories of some of the heroes of capitalism. And
yep.
These are the people who are the entrepreneurs. And so one of the things I want to do, and one of the things I try to do quite a bit in the book, is to tell a lot more stories than economists usually tell in their writing.
Right.
And so I talk about Steve Jobs quite a bit. I talk about Walt Disney. I talk about Wilbur Wright. And I think by seeing the struggles that these innovators went through, and they weren't perfect people.
They didn't start out as number crunchers. None of them started out as number crunchers. They were all dreamers,
right.
Weren't they?
They were. We were down over the weekend in Kansas City, and we saw where Walt Disney started his first startup that didn't last
right.
very long.
Right.
And before that, we'd gone to Marceline, where he lived as a small boy, and he had what they call the dream tree. And they say that he used to sit under that tree and do his first sketching that eventually led to his being a
right.
cartoonist.
He was a cartoonist
so
in the
as,
beginning.
As
he was his own, I mean, he created modern cartoonism, but that's what he did initially for a living. He worked at that job.
That's right, and he drew the original Mickeys. Now, at a certain point, he delegated it, but
right.
he knew every step of the process.
But it was all because of a dream. It was all because of a desire. And here's the thing, and I want this gets to the point of your article of your book and your article. Without the headroom, without the ability, without the knowledge that you the belief that whatever you dream, you could take it as far as you could and wanted to yourself, and you could profit from that, you could benefit from that, you could help others with that. Without that belief, that feeling, then a lot of dreams get squashed. And that's what socialism does. Socialism removes that headroom. I'm using an audiophile term, but it removes the ceiling from your dreams, doesn't it? I mean, capitalism doesn't.
Well,
socialism puts
the
ceiling on your dreams.
Well, that's right. Socialism brings in somebody looking over your shoulder telling you what to do. And the key part of the process of entrepreneurial innovation is that often through trial and error, through taking a chance, you try new things. You don't, and that's not possible if you got somebody who says that you have to do it this way or you have to do it that way. And so even the best-intentioned socialists are going to keep progress from happening if they start ordering around and stopping the process by which innovation occurs.
One of the things that I point out, Art, is people need to differentiate between the people that we're hearing now, who the candidates we're now hearing who are calling themselves socialists, who are espousing socialistic policies. We need to differentiate those people from the people who I consider to be liberals. Liberals want to reform the system we have. They think that they've got some ideas about how to make it better, and sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not. But socialists want to rip out what we have and replace it with this control system. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think it's a continuum. I think a lot of what the liberals advocate are steps in the direction of socialism that also strongly restrict what entrepreneurs can do. There's this thing called the precautionary principle, where you can't try something new unless you can prove in advance that it won't cause harm. And that's something that many liberals who wouldn't call themselves socialists are in favor of.
No, liberalism has fostered socialism. There's no question about that. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but I think that in some way the socialists, one of my heroes is Frank Knight, who was a Chicago School economist who wrote about entrepreneurship some, and he once wrote a paper that never got published, which was in defense of communism.
Huh.
And he meant it tongue-in-cheek, because what he thought was sometimes it's better to get the issues out on the table in clear and strong and definite form in order to have a debate and to have clarity. Mm. Now, I'm not sure I totally believe that, but I guess if you're looking for a bright side of the people who are advocating socialism, it is allowing us to have a really intense discussion about things that matter.
Are you surprised that after all this time that socialism is actually a concept being debated in this country as a possible a direction that we would go in? Are you surprised at that?
A little bit, because there are some really strong examples of how socialism doesn't work. I mean, you've got Venezuela right now, and a couple of decades ago, we remember what the Soviet Union was going through.
Right.
And at the time that the Soviet Union fell, there was a lot of commentary that said that's the end of socialism forever, because it's such a dramatic, empirical, in-your-face evidence that it doesn't work. But a lot of the people today, they've forgotten that. And also, there's a lot of ways to rationalize and say, well, that wasn't what's going on in Venezuela. It's not being executed right. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not,
well, that's.
It's not
that's,
really socialism.
We've seen
the problem.
We've seen that movie, and we know how it ends. And I don't know why we're talking about it in America today. We're going to come right back with Arthur Diamond. The book is called Openness to Creative Destruction.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.